Welcome to Rainy Day Rabbit Holes,
a uniquely Pacific Northwest podcast.
I'm Jody.
And I'm Shay.
That's wrong. I'm Shay.
And I'm Jody.
Each week, we will take you on a journey through the quirky, weird, mysterious, and fascinating stories of Pacific Northwest history.
So grab your North Face jacket, strap on your Tevas, and pour yourself, like we did today, a Northwest brewed beer.
Woo! And let's fall down the rabbit hole. So can you tell this is our third episode of the day?
Yep, it's getting squirrely in here. Squirrely.
It's batch episode day. Anyways, hello everyone. What am I doing? That's not my intro.
We should tell everyone where we're recording from today.
Oh yeah, you guys. We are recording from our very own kill room. I mean, studio.
AKA, Shay nicknamed the kill room.
The kill room, because it is a fully insulated soundproof room in Jody's garage. Could kill someone in here and no one would hear them scream.
This is true. And the floor is cement, so we could just hose it out.
Exactly. There's not a drain in the floor, but we'd figure it out. We could squeegee stuff.
Yeah. We got to shop back.
We're terrible. We are going to lure Sir Mix-a-Lot into this room with barbecue.
Sir Mix-a-Lot, do know we have your contact for your agent. So
we're coming for you. Oh, God, that sounded terrible.
Shay's coming for you.
I'm sorry. Sir Mix-a-Lot, look, we really respect you, and we just want to talk to you and hang out with you.
I was singing Buttermilk Biscuit through my high school days.
I know.
And I literally, with my friends, rented a limo and went down with our posse on Broadway and ate dicks just for fun. And I mean Dick's Burgers.
I was going to say, you need to explain that for anybody who does not live in the Pacific Northwest.
I meant Dick's Burgers.
She did not eat a bag of dicks.
I did not eat a bag of dicks. Well, I did, but not those dicks.
It's a hamburger chain, guys. It's called Dick's.
Yes.
It's highly overrated, but very much loved
100%
in the Pacific Northwest.
Always thought, I mean, we're probably going to get canceled now for saying that, but I've always thought highly overrated. But I will say, okay, now you're going to be on your own here, and because I'm going to get canceled, but I'm not an In-N-Out version. I'm not the thin patty fan.
She likes In-N-Out, but not In-N-Out.
Right. I love a bag of dicks, and I love In-N-Out, but I am not talking. Okay, episode 3 for the day clearly has made me rummy.
Okay, let's get into this story. Jody, did you realize that here in Washington State, we very nearly became subjects of the British Crown?
Yes, I am familiar with this story from my travels, and yes.
Okay, so hidden amidst the misty forests and rugged coastlines of the Pacific Northwest is not only the tree octopus, but listen to the Sea Monsters episode, lies a tale of intrigue, betrayal, and a most unexpected catalyst, a pig. Welcome to the Pig Wars, where a seemingly mundane incident sparked a showdown of epic proportions, shaping the destiny of nations in a forgotten corner of history. Okay, history class is now in session with Professor Buzzkill, a.k.a. Shay.
Buzzkill. That's... You've given me a buzz.
And by the way, hey, Christina over at F'd Up History, I thought about you the whole time.
this is some F'd Up History.
Yes, go check out her podcast. You'll understand.
Shay's not effing up this history. It arrived F'd
Up. It's just F'd Up. It's pretty good. Okay. So this episode is actually going to give you, my dear listeners, a pretty good, like, in a nutshell history of the origins of white settlement here in the Pacific Northwest and how this region ended up being part of America and not part of British Columbia. So, history lesson, let's do this. My dear friend Michael Sullivan, you can tell me later what I got wrong.
Yes, please.
Please do.
He is the expert.
He is. Okay. So, most of this came from the historylink.org article about the Pig Wars, which Michael Sullivan is the chairman of the board. So, you know, yes. So if anything in here is wrong, it is my fault, not their fault. All right, let's do this. Our story actually begins in 1493.
Wow, that's a long... There was no America then.
People weren't alive then.
No humans. These were not actual humans, right?
So Pope Alexander VI, which is the sixth, I've learned. Because I'm a moron.
So geography and Roman numerals. And Roman numerals, neither yeah. are your
no,
thing.
No, can't do either. Issued a papal bull that any, which is just like a pope's
message, memo.
Rule.
It's a pope's memo.
That any land not inhabited by Christians was available to be, big quotes, discovered, claimed, and exploited by Christian rulers. Here we go. It stated that the Catholic faith and Christian religion should be exalted and should spread through the world, rather like a disease, in my opinion.
I'm getting cringy over here.
And that, quote, all barbarous nations be overthrown and brought to the faith, close quotes. This was known as the Doctrine of Discovery and became the basis for all European claims in the Americas, as well as the foundation for the United States' Western expansion. It was central in the Spanish conquest of the New World and supported the exclusive, quote-unquote, right to the lands, quote-unquote, discovered by Columbus the previous year. I'm going to use a lot of quotes in this.
Where does Columbus land the previous year? Like, it feels like it's far away.
That was the Mayflower.
Right.
Thing.
And that's on the other side of this country. Fascinating. Okay.
Yeah. He left Plymouth and landed in Plymouth. How convenient. Sorry. I'm going to quote
New Plymouth. I don't know why they didn't name it New Plymouth.
I'm going to quote Eddie Izzard a lot in this, by the way. So it essentially gave Spain a monopoly on the New World, this doctrine of discovery. It was in support of Spanish conquest of the New World. It also stated that if the quote unquote pagan or quote unquote Saracen inhabitants could not be converted, they might be spared. And if not converted, they could be enslaved or killed. So if they did not become Christians, you could kill them or enslave them.
I wonder what would happen to me. Could I be killed or slaved?
Well, you're white, so probably be fine.
Okay. Yeah. I could go ahead and not be Christian as long as I was white.
I don't know.
I'd have to keep it a secret. I'd have to be a closet atheist.
You're also a woman, so you weren't actually a human.
Oh, so my opinion doesn't matter.
No.
Got it.
No, you're going to do whatever your husband told you to do. Damn it. Anyways, okay, let's...
How the times have changed.
Have they?
For me.
Oh, for you, yes. Okay. You're like, my husband's going to do what I tell him to do.
No, but I am uncontrollable.
That's true.
He just kind of contains me.
I know. Oh, he's
my boundaries.
Sometimes he has talks with me about, like, look, we need to keep Jody from doing too much. I need your help.
Oh, does he?
Yes. Yeah. Because he loves you and he cares about you and he's concerned about you.
Yes, how sweet.
Okay. He's a good guy. Okay. So this doctrine of discovery was even upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court in 1823 to justify the snuffing out of indigenous peoples' culture and to seize their lands. And unfortunately, this law has even been used as recently as 2005. To deny the right of the Oneida Nation of New York to retain its territory, which is just gross.
Yes.
Okay. Ugh. So I got a little bit enraged reading about the Doctrine of Discovery.
Also, I'm super thankful to be born in this time.
Yes.
At this time. Meaning, I'm sure I've been reincarnated. Just kidding. Go ahead.
You were the husband last time.
Yes,
for
that's
sure.
My theory. Keith and I have been married multiple times.
Yeah, that's the first time you've been the wife. We're trying it out. Maybe we're going to go back next time.
Yes.
Okay. So why are we talking about this and what does it have to do with the Pacific Northwest? Well, as the Europeans sailed around the world and claimed countries with the cunning use of flags, as Eddie Izzard says, no flag, no country. These are the rules I've just made up.
They work.
The territories of the Pacific Northwest were of great interest So this doctrine of discovery was the basis of the Europeans laying claim to the lands inhabited by the indigenous peoples of the Pacific Northwest, enslaving them or outright killing them. By the late 1700s, we had the Russians, the Spanish, and the British explorers in this area all looking to claim a piece. The Spanish were the first to map out the islands now known as the San Juan Islands, as well as name most of the islands in the channels in this region. So if you've ever been wondering why all of the islands and channels in the Pacific Northwest have Spanish names, that is because the Spanish were the explorers that came here and mapped and named things. So the San Juan Islands, their namesake, you ready for this?
Yes.
Okay, you ready? It's another episode of Shay
ruining everything.
Can't pronounce stuff.
Oh, got you. Okay, good.
Okay, you ready for me to butcher a bunch of Spanish names? All right, I'm getting ready. Okay, hold on. Go. Okay, deep breath.
I believe in you.
Here we go. I gotta concentrate. Okay. Don Juan Vicente de Güemes, Pachico de Padilla, Horcasitas y Aguio Conde de Revilla Gigado.
Okay.
That's one name.
There was a lot of Japanese accent in it, but otherwise, I think you got it.
That is abbreviated to San Juan.
Oh, wow.
All that is San Juan.
Wow.
He was a Spanish military officer and the viceroy of New Spain. Fun or not so fun fact, where do you think the name Orcas Island came from?
Oh, from the whales.
No. It is not from the black and white marine animal. It is a shortening of the name Horcasitas, because Orcas is in the middle of it. It's H-O-R-C-A-S-I-T-E-E-S.
Cetus, is that islands?
I wonder. No, that's just his name.
Oh.
Horca. Sounded German. Horca.
I was doing
sorry, guys.
Thing. It was so nasally.
Horcasitas. Horcasitas. Did that sound Spanish? Did I roll my R's a little bit? Horcasitas.
Well, by the time we get to Spain, we'll work that out.
I'm so sorry to everyone.
We'll work that out.
Spanish speaking. The Spanish present remains evident in many local place names. Okay, so we got Lopez Island, Rosarito Strait, Sica Island, Patos Island, Padilla Bay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
I didn't even realize that. I've been to all those areas. And I mean, I knew San Juan was Spanish.
Yeah.
Other than that, Lopez.
Strait of Juan de Fuca.
Yeah, I knew that.
Pretty Spanish.
You're right.
You know what? The Coast Salish were already here, as well as many other tribes like the Samish and Lummi peoples. And they had names for these places already. And
is it Lummi Island for the Lummi?
Is there a Lummi Island?
Yeah, there's.
Oh, okay. I'm sure it's probably been renamed to Lummi Island.
Right, that's
probably
a
Spanish name for
what
a while.
Was it before? Yeah.
So I am not going to disrespect the indigenous peoples. I will respect the disrespect the Spanish, apparently, but by butchering their words, because I am sorry, I looked up, there's a whole map of the Salish Sea and San Juan Islands and the original indigenous people's names for them. I can't right. even try. They do actually give a little pronunciation audio clip there, but I'm just not going to disrespect people by trying when I know I can't. So we will provide a link to this map that shows the names of what the indigenous peoples called these areas.
Right. And I was thinking we need to do that anyway, because when we mispronounce words like that, we are being disrespectful. We don't mean to be and don't think we are being, but mm-hmm. I feel like we need to get better at that. So that's a good idea to include it. We'll try our best, because obviously pronouncing words that are not in your language becomes... it can be difficult, and also your accent, blah, blah, blah. But we're going to do our best.
Yes.
By including it for you at the end.
Yes. I mean, some I will attempt, and I do apologize mm-hmm. when I butcher that, mm-hmm. but some I can't. When there's a weird X, I...
Right, or little accents somewhere that mm-hmm. are...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway.
And I'm past the age of 5, so I don't assimilate to right. language.
So I really encourage you guys to go read about what each of these places meant to the indigenous peoples that live there, because besides the name, they had meaning to the people mm-hmm. who had lived there for thousands of years already before mm-hmm. Europeans showed up and came in and they stole their lands and then wiped them out with smallpox. Because many of the indigenous peoples of the islands of the San Juans were wiped out with smallpox.
And if that didn't do it, we have other versions that we can take to you.
Yeah, super fun. Okay, so the Russians, the Spanish, and the British were all lurking around trying to grab up territories. And the United States, who at this point were mostly on the East Coast, they wanted in on the action. They sent expeditions west with Captain Robert Gray and also the Lewis and Clark expedition. And there were other expeditions over here to the West Coast, whether by land or by sea. Now, all of these dudes claim that they, quote unquote, discovered the region, even though the Northwest was already populated with indigenous people.
But it was undiscovered by white people, Shay.
White dudes. Right. That doctrine of discovery gave the Europeans the, quote unquote, right to claim the land.
Mm-mm. What gave them the right?
The doctrine of discovery. Oh, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. By the early 1800s.
Okay, so what we need to do is make our own doctrines to things.
Yes.
And that gives us the right to things.
Okay, so if your pet is an outside animal and is just roaming freely, I reserve the right to claim it as my own. Fair?
Fair. I mean, especially with cats. I mean, you lay out a little bit of food.
All of my neighbors have I have a neighbor that has a couple outside cats, and they come and shit in my yard. So I should be able to claim that cat as my own and bring it inside. And it's my cat now.
Can you claim it on your taxes?
Look, if you can claim a child on your taxes as a dependent, I think you should be able to claim a pet as a dependent on your taxes. Like, a pet sometimes costs you more than a child.
100%. However, I think we should cap it because I know some people with lots of pets. That's just ridiculous.
Well, you know people too that will spend $10,000 on a pet surgery.
At least. I'm not calling you out, Miss San Francisco.
We get it too. We get it. We would probably do the same.
I mean, I get why you would, but somewhere I would go, no, I'm not doing that.
Should we cut that part?
No, she'll like it. She knows who she is. She knows it's out of love.
We love you. We love how you love, too. Mm-hmm. All right. By the early 1800s, Spain and Russia dropped out of the race. Quitters. Boo. We're number one. And they were no longer making claims between Northern California and Alaska. So that left just Britain and the good old US of A. We're number one.
I was born here, but I did an ancestry DNA test, and I'm like 85% British, which I think is insane.
So maybe you should move.
I'm a purebred.
You should move to Canada, where the British are. Mm-hmm. So
there's a good chance it may happen.
They don't have dental care.
Right, because that's not healthcare.
Yeah, they've got healthcare, but not dental care.
Your mouth is not healthcare.
Even though there is scientific evidence that your dental care can directly affect your cardiovascular health.
100%. Before you have heart surgery, make you go get a dental exam.
Right.
But you have to pay for that outside.
Right. Anyway, where were we? All right. Britain. We got on tangents. Britain and the good old US of A were left to duke it out for the area known as Oregon Country. I say Oregon weird, don't I?
Is that Oregon?
I know, and I always say
it. Or is it like Oregon. Your liver?
I always say it like it's your liver. Got I say it. One word. Anyway, so Oregon Country. Oregon.
Or Oregon.
Oregon Country. It was all of the territory west of the Rocky Mountains between California and, as I spelled it here, Alaska. Without an S.
Oh, Alaska.
Alaska.
Is that south of Alaska? Or
it
more?
Is. It's south Alaska. Alaska is south Alaska. They signed a treaty in 1818 that allowed them to jointly occupy the area. And we're saying British and America because we went off on a tangent. So you're like, who? Britain and USA and America. They are jointly occupying Oregon Country, which is the Pacific Northwest now. Okay. All right. At this time, the largest non-indigenous presence in this area was Britain's Hudson Bay Company, which you've probably mm-hmm. heard of because mm-hmm. it's still around. Mm-hmm. It was mainly a large fur trading company at this point. So fun fact, it is now the parent company of many retail department stores, including Saks Fifth Avenue.
I'm not surprised. No, I did not know that, but I'm not surprised. A very powerful company from that time mm-hmm. on.
I don't shop there because I cannot afford it. I am too
Saks
cheap.
Fifth?
Yeah.
I know.
I've never even been inside of one.
Exactly. I'm
I'm way too cheap. We buy our clothes from Costco.
And Amazon.
Yes, thank you.
Everybody goes, wow, I wish I could dress like you. And I'm like, oh, you have no idea. This whole outfit's $25.
I also, like Macklemore, am a fan of thrift shopping. Mm. So this giant company had a huge network of trading outposts throughout the region along most of the rivers, which we have a lot of rivers out here. They actually had a good relationship with the indigenous people through the fur trading. So the indigenous people would trade with them with the fur. And Hudson Bay Company actually was discouraging settlers. They didn't want people to actually come in here and move in and cut down trees because that would disrupt the environment of the fur-bearing animals like the beavers. So right. They wanted to keep the area pristine so that they could murder the animals.
Right. I'm surprised they looked that far ahead. Like they seem to, you know... running buffalo off the ridge and killing them all at once to overfishing to they never seem to see the preservation in anything. Right. So I'm surprised that they did say we got to keep this.
It's in a way it reminds me of like Ducks Unlimited, which they're a conservation, but it's just so that you can go shoot the ducks. They want to conserve the ducks.
They're
so
conserving
you can
enough
the ducks.
To keep killing them. Right. So it's like a self-serving conservation.
Yeah. And I'm just not going to start on the whole killing animals for sport thing. I can't. I'm going to go on a rant and nobody's going to listen to this anymore. All right. Let's get back into the story. The Americans, on the other hand, just wanted to settle. So American settlers began to flood into the region, especially the Willamette Valley. Mm-hmm. Now, I was recently listening to an audiobook of an Anne Rule book and the narrator kept pronouncing it Willamette. And so I was screaming at the audiobook.
Yes.
It's Willamette.
Didn't you vet
damn it?
This person? Vet them.
But when it comes to the pronunciation of Pacific Northwest place names, we're pretty good on that, at least if it's places we've lived in. It's Burien, it's Des Moines.
Puyallup.
It's not Puyallup. What the fuck, lady?
Tukwila.
Oh, God. Stop. You're killing me.
Now I know how to annoy you.
Thank you.
Okay. It's a little sister job, but this big sister's taking over.
I know. All right. We got to get back to the story. Okay, we have done nothing but tangents. Cut the shit. That's the name of our podcast. Cut shit the shit. Okay. Where was I? Oh, fuck. Okay. That's right. Okay. So the Americans, so Hudson Bay Company was trying to keep settlers out. American settlers wanted to come in. So they came in and they were flooding into the Willamette Valley, which is now where you get really tasty wines. Another treaty was ratified in 1846, which divided the mainland Oregon country at the 49th parallel and granted all of Vancouver Island to Britain. However, it did not make clear who got San Juan Islands.
Mm-hmm. Which when you're up there, feels like they're all the same, but Vancouver Island's outside of it.
Mm-hmm. So
like, I could see that.
There was pretty vague and ambiguous language in the treaty that allowed each side to assume that they owned the San Juan Islands. But for 5 years, nobody tried to occupy the islands. And here's a fun fact. Because drawing lines based on parallels does not exactly conform to coastlines. The 49 square mile tip of the, oh God, here we go. Tawassasin. T-S-A-W-W-A-S-S-E-N. Tawassasin.
Like, I feel like T-S has no T sound. Swassaton.
Swassen. 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 Let's go there. Peninsula of Vancouver Island got kind of fucked. This area is known as Point Roberts.
Oh, Point Roberts.
And although it is physically attached to the land given to British Columbia, it is located in the area given to the United States, even though it is not physically connected to the U.S. So reaching Point Roberts requires a 14-mile boat trip from the Canadian border crossing at Blaine. And in 2009, murder suspect Ryan Jenkins used Point Roberts as a way to escape into Canada. And during the COVID-19 border restrictions in 2020 and 2021, many Americans found themselves trapped there, unable to cross the border into Canada, which was necessary to reach mainland U.S. Further, as Point Roberts is a tiny town without much in the way of services, residents found themselves in dire straits without shipments of food, a pharmacy, or a hospital beyond an urgent care clinic. Mm-hmm. And they could not cross the border to go seek medical help.
Yeah, they were trapped in America on the tip of Point Roberts. I actually went with my friend and went, hey, Susie, I'm calling you out here. We went and visited Point Roberts. I hadn't heard about it before till COVID-19. And they literally were trapped there. Look it up on a map.
It's just a tiny little tip.
And it's so cute, by the way, Shay. I love this little area.
Oh, it's a great little area.
It's amazing. And they had a festival going while we were there. I bought some jewelry at the art place. It was great.
But it's really weird because you have to, if you're going to go by land, you have to go through Canada to get back into the U.S.
You have to go through a border crossing, and I've driven to Mexico, so I've gone through and back. So I've gone through that border crossing, and of course, I've done Canada a few times.
I was going to say, what's Mexico have to do with
it? It's literally the same border crossing to go to this little town in America through Canada.
So I know it's been an establishing history lesson and tangents up to this point, but this is where things start to get wild. So let's get into it. But first, are you looking for a great podcast to listen to? We have a couple for you. First off, you have heard me sing the praises of Ireland Crimes and Mysteries with Newels, but I'm going to do it again because it's worth saying again.
Love Newels.
Oh, God.
Her voice makes me feel good.
I know.
It's smooth. It's like a meditation, but you're learning, but you're not meditating, but she makes me feel that.
Oh, God. Her voice is incredible. She's such a good storyteller. And if you like fascinating tales, great storytelling, and hearing only gorgeous Irish accents.
Ooh.
Only gorgeous. She's been teaching me Irish slang.
I love it.
She says, by the time I come visit her, we're going to go visit next year. I'm putting that out into the universe that I will be speaking like a real Irishman.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to have to practice.
I'm going to do it. Yes. If you like all those things, then you need to listen. Also, we would like to offer a warm falce to our new listeners in Ireland.
Yes. Welcome. Welcome.
Second, if you like messed up history like this tale, then you are going to love effed up history. Christina tells the messed up stories from history with her own spicy brand of humor and sarcasm. She's an expert in the Salem witch trials, too. So it's so much fun. Definitely a fun listen.
She is.
Nice. Yes. She gives tours.
Whoa.
When we go, we're going to go back east and she's going to give us a tour of Salem.
I cannot wait.
Yes. I'm so excited. And in April, you can hear Jody and I discuss the Satanic Panic with Christina. So keep an eye out for that. We are so excited.
It's kind of a big collab.
Yes. I have been having so much fun researching Satanism, which I never thought I would say.
It sounds horrifying, but turns out
it's really exciting. And if you want someone else to help you out on your search for your next podcast binge, check out One Good Thing Media. Gerald listens to the podcast and reviews it for you so you know what to listen to. In addition, you can hear an interview with me, Shay, on the show talking with Gerald about our fascination with true crime and serial killers. And I'll put all of these links in the show notes, so you just need to scroll down to find all that good stuff. All right, we got to get back to the pig wars. Okay, the Hudson Bay Company made the first move, establishing a seasonal salmon curing station on San Juan Island in 1851. Then, 2 years later, they set up a sheep farm at the urging of James Douglas. Remember this name, James Douglas, who was the governor of the Crown Colony of British Columbia. And he wanted to stake a claim on the islands for Britain. So remember, San Juan Islands it's vague. Nobody knows who actually owns them. The sweeping views from the farm's headquarters inspired the farm's name, the Bellevue Farm.
Bellevue.
Now, I don't know if that is the inspiration for the name of the city of Bellevue, but I'm just going to assume it without doing any further research.
Or is it the psychiatric hospital in New York? Both are
Bellevue. Well, it's Bell, one word, or two words, Bellevue.
Oh, like as in V-I-E-U.
No, it's B-E-L-L-E, new word, V-U-E.
Huh.
Bell, which is beautiful, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And view, which maybe is view. I don't know.
It can be a beautiful view.
I could do more research, but I won't.
Psychiatric hospital, beautiful view? Go ahead.
That's sick.
Move along.
I don't know. That's it's not Northwest. We need Christina to do that one. Christina, do Bellevue Psychiatric Hospital.
Rochay is going next week.
Thank you. Okay. Charles John Griffin, another name to remember, was appointed the company manager of the farm. And he bought more farm animals, including some pigs. Okay. So, but of course, the U.S. and the new Washington Territory were not happy with this setup. So in 1854, the U.S. customs collector made several trips from Port Townsend, where we just were, across the Strait of Juan de Fuca.
It's my favorite.
To demand that the Hudson Bay Company pay custom duties on the animals and other goods that they had, as the U.S. claimed, smuggled into the U.S. territories.
So AKA San Juan Islands, right?
Right.
Okay.
So shouting and threats ensued between the U.S. agents and the farm managers. At this time, the San Juans were considered by America to be included in Whatcom County, which is the first new county of the Washington Territory. So Whatcom County Sheriff Ellis Barnes repeatedly visited the Bellevue farms to demand the payment of taxes and duties. When Griffin refused, the sheriff said, fine. I'm going to auction off your sheep to pay for the taxes.
So he basically took possession of the sheep and auctioned them off.
Well, wait, just wait. So in the middle of the night, Sheriff Barnes gathered up a bunch of men who wanted to bid on the sheep, and he got a bunch of boats, and they all rowed over to the shores of San Juan Islands. They snuck onto the farm. They rounded up about 50 sheep and they held an auction on the beach at midnight. What? I mean, the balls on this guy.
By firelight.
Yes.
Like, check out your sheep you're going to auction to buy.
But then the bidders were trying to force the sheep into their little rowboats and they couldn't get them in there. And I'm assuming that there was like rowboats capsizing and it was probably hilarious. So after a few hours of this silly scene, they still had not managed to get off the island. And Griffin and his farm hands were alerted to it, and they finally arrived on the scene. So the Americans brandished their guns and took off in their boats with about 34 of the sheep that they had managed to force in to them. So Griffin, of course, was incensed, and he reported this theft to Governor Douglas in Victoria.
Do you know how many sheep he had? Like, was that a half of a sheep?
I don't know. I didn't see that. But I just imagine them like trying to force the sheep into the boat, and the boat collapses, and the sheep's pissed off and wet. I'm picturing
them trying to pick them up, but then they're wobbling in the boat.
And the sheep are just bleeding. I'm sure it was probably the bleeding sheep that brought them to the thing, because sheep can scream.
Yes, for sure.
The news eventually reached Washington, D.C., and the Secretary of State wrote a strongly worded letter instructing the Americans to stop harassing the British until they could resolve this boundary dispute. But the British and the American authorities could not come to a consensus on dividing up the islands, and both groups wanted San Juan, and it was viewed as strategically essential. I'm doing air quotes. Like the Falkland Islands, strategic sheep purposes. So another ingredient in the mix was American settlers. So there was a very short-lived gold rush in British Columbia, and the disgruntled American gold miners now wanted to settle on San Juan Island. So they just came and they were squatting between 1858 and 1859.
The original squatters.
Yes, the original squatters. So they despised British Governor Douglas, and he detested the American settlers. So as such, he attempted to warn off the squatters and maintain British civil power on the island. But of course, the Americans were like, fuck you. They refused to recognize British authority because they considered...
Per usual.
Yeah, they considered the island to be part of America. So like, this is America.
America.
America. So Lyman Cutler, a former gold miner, had settled on the island in April of 1859.
Gold cutter?
Cutlar. Lyman Gold Cutler. There's no gold. Lyman Cutler. You added that. Lyman Cutler. Did you say Gold Cutler or did I land that? Just Lyman Cutler.
Good grief.
So he had settled on the island and was attempting to scratch out about a 160-acre homestead. It was about a mile from the Bellevue Farm's headquarters. Cutler's small garden was not fenced, and one of the Hudson Bay's boars kept getting out, and he was rooting around his potato patch. So he drove it away on multiple occasions, and he even complained to Hudson Bay, but when no action had been taken to prevent the pig from rooting up his garden, Cutler shot the pig on June 5th, 1859. He told Griffin what he had done, and he even offered to replace the animal. But when Griffin insisted that the boar was worth $100, Cutler got super pissed.
And in
1859, he said, this pig isn't even worth $10. So a few high-level Hudson Bay officials were visiting the farm from Vancouver at that time, and they confronted this angry farmer. And Cutler later claimed that the British officials threatened to arrest him if he didn't pay the $100, but this recollection is disputed. So Cutler's fellow American settlers were having none of it. On the 4th of July,
what?
14 men, almost the entire American population on the island, gathered at one man's cabin just up the hill from the Bellevue Farm's headquarters, and they performed a loud flag-raising ceremony with lots of speechifying by every single man, lots of toasts, and a rain of bullets.
Up in the air or at each other?
I'm assuming up in the air. But at that time, was it still the pistol that you had to like load with the flintlock?
It doesn't matter either way. Up in the air. It was a very long
period because you got one shot and then you got to load.
Every 5 minutes there was a rain of bullets, right?
So you could miss that one. It probably went pretty slow. So a few days later, an American general, William S. Harney, was steaming past San Juan Island from Victoria, where he had been paying a courtesy call to Governor Douglas, and he was headed to Port Townsend. And he noticed that the American flag was flying on the disputed island. Well, this, like, nobody knows who this belongs to. So he was like, what's happening? So he went ashore to investigate. And the settlers took the opportunity to vent about their perceived threats from the Hudson Bay Company. Now, General Harney was well known for his anti-British feelings, and he saw an opportunity to harass the Hudson Bay Company on the island. So he had the settlers draw up a petition for military assistance, which, probably at the advice of General Harney, did not mention the incident with the pig. It instead asked for troops to protect against raids by the local indigenous people, who at this point still continued to send raiding parties to the San Juan Islands and the Puget Sound until they were wiped out by smallpox in the early 1860s. And Harney also explained to his superiors that the settlers of San Juan Island needed protection from, quote, oppressive interference of the authorities of the Hudson's Bay Company. So on July 18th, 1859, Harney ordered Captain George Pickett to abandon Fort Bellingham and move his infantry to the island. They arrived on July 26th and set up camp on the hillside above the Hudson Bay Company dock. He also posted a proclamation that said, this being United States territory, no laws other than those of the United States will be recognized or allowed on this island. So he's claiming San Juan Islands for the United States.
Planted that flag.
Yep. No flag, no country. So, of course, this outraged Governor Douglas. He was also acting vice admiral of the Royal Navy Fleet, and he dispatched the warship HMS Tribune, a 31-gun steamship, to the scene under the command of Captain Joffrey Hornby. Once he arrived in the harbor, he concluded that they would need more than one ship. So a contingent of Royal Marines were sent to the HMS Plumper. I just realized Plumper.
Plumper.
That's such a dumb name. Okay, I'm sorry. And a third British gunship was also sent. So now there's three British gunships in the harbor.
For these islands.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Over a pig. Okay. So on August 3rd, the captains of the three British ships met with Pickett, who insisted that his orders came from Washington, D.C., and they didn't. Washington, D.C. did not know about this yet.
Oh, my. So he's acting on his own for the whole entire country. Uh-huh. Okay.
And he said he would fight any troops that landed. Thankfully, the captain, Hornby, had a cooler head, and he decided not to land his troops on the island, which perhaps avoided an actual all-out war. Mm-hmm. But Pickett was feeling vulnerable with three British warships hanging out in his harbor, and so he sent word to Olympia to dispatch another ship and more troops. So by August 17th, they had 424 enlisted men and 15 officers on the island. Together with 50 civilians, they built the American camp, which would be their home for the next 15 years.
Yes, I remember this from my tours up there. Now, Olympia was, what was Olympia at the time? Because Washington was a territory.
I think it was the
capital of the
territory at that point. Yeah. Okay. And Fort Steilacoom was down in that area as well, mm-hmm. which plays a part in this because they did send troops up from and ships up from Fort Steilacoom, which we're going to go on a Fort Steilacoom tour soon.
I can't
with
wait.
Pretty Gritty Tours. They do a lantern tour and I cannot wait. So
I cannot wait.
They know so much about the area. Anyways, back to the
and
story.
They officiate weddings. We'll talk about that later.
Oh, yeah. We have to tell that story. It's so good. At this point, the occupation of San Juan Island was front page news throughout, as I wrote on here, British Columbia, instead of British Columbia, and Washington, and swarms of civilian tourists showed up to watch the action. I mean, it's the late 1800s. What else are you going to do?
Yes.
A whole
That's
new...
like TV.
I know.
That's like watching Netflix.
Exactly. A whole new settlement sprang up on the shores of the bay, known as San Juan Town, complete with bars and brothels.
Where?
On San Juan Islands. I don't know.
I'm wondering if that is that Friday Harbor. Never mind.
Yeah, we need to look into that. Like, what was San Juan Town and what is it now?
Right.
It's probably Friday Harbor.
That's what I was thinking, because Friday Harbor has that stuff.
Yeah.
I love that area.
So both British and American governments tried to send civil magistrates to the island to rein in the growing town of vice, but neither side recognized the other's authority. I love that so much. I could see that. Because of the distance to the actual seats of British and American governments, it was not until September that both the American and British governments found out that they had almost gone to war.
Oh my goodness, that's hilarious. Because it's so local, they never passed it on to the boss.
I know, and
oh
it's so God. Stupid. Okay, so when word got back to Washington, D.C. that the American general had almost started a war with England, right? They sent the commanding general of the U.S. Army to remedy the situation, one Winfield Scott. So he boarded a steamer in New York on September 20th, and he had to travel down through Panama up to San Francisco and finally to Fort Vancouver.
Took a minute.
However, since he was 73 years old, in poor health,
he started at
very
50.
Overweight, right? 3 years later, he got there. And he was nearly immobile.
Well, yeah. What was the lifespan back then? It was nowhere near 73
73
years.
Was like, you're on death's door. Right. And they're like, oh, we don't need him anymore. Send him over there to the Washington
Let's
territory.
Let's put him in the infirmary while we find someone else.
Basically. They're like, oh my God, he's never going to come back because he's definitely going to die.
That's it.
On this trip Last so we can replace trip. Him. He never even went ashore during his time in the Northwest. So through aides, he dispatched his orders to those on shore at San Juan Harbor. And he wanted almost all of the troops to return to their previous posts. So the Washington Territory governors were outraged. They thought that Scott should have allowed the territorial government jurisdiction over the San Juans. And he further stirred things up by suggesting that Harney should step down from command. And so they were like, fuck you, old man. Go home.
We got this. We don't need
right.
you.
Although the powers that be in Victoria were reluctant to place British troops on the island, London authorities decided that as long as U.S. troops were occupying the island, that there should be an equal amount of British troops. So now America and Britain were jointly occupying the island. This is a tiny island. Like, it this is a it lot is. Of
I
work.
Love it so much, but like, you could drive around it 74 That's, times in one day.
It's not that, like, it's not that important, guys. It's just, I think now it's just like everybody's got their dicks up, right?
Right, right, for sure. And I'm sure it was probably very valuable in the
strategic sheep purposes.
Yeah, and furs and blah, blah. I mean, it's beautiful. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what it was.
I mean, it was an uninhabited island, right? Yes.
I mean, that's what I was trying to
There's
think
no
about,
one like, here. Excuse me, who are these guys?
The resources, I guess, were good.
What's all of the like headdresses and leather? Who are you?
Yeah, move over.
Excuse me.
This is my
You're island. On my island. So none of the captains and generals put in place on San Juan Island by their respective governments had any expectation that this joint occupation would go on for years. But the American Civil War broke out in 1861, and the San Juan Island dispute was just pushed to the back burner. So for the next several years, the American and British camps learned to just, like, live with each other.
Share,
they were just
whatever.
Left there.
They shared?
Yeah. Often, they would co-mingle at feasts and sporting events, and also there's this...
So it was like Thanksgiving and the Olympics.
Right. And also there's this town, right, that has all these bars and brothels. And both American and British troops would visit the bars and brothels.
I bet there was marriages and families and
probably
that
like they lived their
and...
just lived their lives. Mm-hmm. While the military camps kept peace, the American civilians living in the nearby old town had a reputation for rowdiness and vice. And most disruptions to the peace came from Washingtonians who chafed at what they saw as military rule.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
Does that not sound familiar?
Yeah, sounds right.
That's a Washingtonian for you. It wasn't until 1869, 10 years after the skirmish began.
10 years over a freaking pig.
All right.
Well, that I guess it's over land, but whatever.
Right. That negotiations to ratify the boundaries began. It was slow going. Neither side could agree. And finally, both sides agreed to arbitration. Bizarrely, the newly crowned Emperor of Germany, Kaiser Wilhelm I, was designated as the arbitrator. Okay.
I guess a third party arbitrator.
Yeah.
Is important.
But like the Emperor.
And then they
of
named an entire health
Germany?
System after him, Kaiser.
Kaiser? Is that who it's named after?
No, I'm just kidding.
It was thought that he could be unbiased and neutral. So, sure. Over a year later, the Kaiser came down on the side of the Americans, and in 1872, the San Juan Islands were designated as exclusively American territory. Thus ends 54 years of joint occupation of the San Juan
54.
Islands.
And by the end, it sounds like they figured out how to do a joint operation. It'd be interesting to see what would have happened if they never came to a resolution.
You know what the answer is? Brothels.
I mean, it brings people together. I'm
booze
sure.
and sex. Yeah, it's the universal language, booze and sex.
You know, I watch Outlander.
I still haven't, but...
Which...
I hear
part
it's
of
kind
it
of
takes
like
place during this.
It's kind of like middle-aged lady porn, so I'm into it.
Not kinda. wait, middle-aged, what? I think all ladies.
Okay,
who have
all
seen
ladies
these,
porn.
All ladies who have seen
I'm just
seen
relating
it
everything porn. To me because I'm about to be exactly middle-aged.
It's okay. It's
I'm living to 90.
It's a good place to be.
It is.
You know what it is? Middle age is your entry to freedom.
Thank you. We just
no
don't give
one
a shit.
Gives a fuck. You just do what you want to do.
No one cares what I look like or what I do, and I don't care what I look
I
like.
Care.
And I don't.
I care, and I don't care what you think. So I only care what I think, and that's what matters.
Right.
And so when I get ready in the morning, I don't care.
Well, also here's the thing: we're planning my 45th birthday party right now, and there's only like 8 people I want to invite, and that's fine.
Right. Where when you were younger, that's like insulting. Oh my God, my party's not. I clearly don't have friends. I'm not important enough. I'm not great enough.
No, I've just realized there's only like 8 people in the world that I actually want to hang out with
that are worthy of you.
Right. And I'm like, and I don't want to waste my time or my breath or my energy on anybody
it's
else.
It's a great
it's
place
fine.
To be. I'm
yeah,
excited for you to be in your age of freedom.
So that's the story of how a pig almost started a war in the Pacific Northwest. And by the way, that poor pig was the only casualty.
Did he have a name?
No.
Can we at least say his name? No, we can't
his
say
name's
his name.
Frank. Let's name
Let's
him Frank.
Let's call Frank. I was just
Why
thinking,
is everything Frank? I don't
well,
know.
Well, I know. When you said it earlier, I was like, that is actually what I'm going to name my dog if I
That's
get
great...
another one.
Yeah, well, anyways, that was the pig wars.
No, that's amazing. I've learned about the pig wars on tours of the Sandalone Islands. This is pretty in depth compared to what you get from the placard on the side there.
Yeah,
but so yes, for anyone who wants to go look, this there is a monument there.
Yeah, there's a national monument on Sandalone Islands that tells the story of the pigtail. Pigtails?
Pig wars. Pigtails are what I had as a child. Pig wars are what they had in... when they were trying to figure it out. It is majestic.
It's
is
beautiful. Yeah.
There is absolutely, it's something that should be on your bucket
list. Yes. If you come to visit the Pacific Northwest, definitely take a trip to the San Juan Islands. It's beautiful. And just know our history here. Now, I'm saying it's not very old and like European settler, white man old. It's old in that the indigenous people here have been here for maybe 10,000 years.
Yeah, so, right.
But, you know, the indigenous people in this area kept mostly oral histories, so there's not as much written history. So, and also white settlers came in and kind of wiped out the indigenous peoples, so we don't have a ton of records of their history, and it's been pushed down a little bit. But as far as European white settlers, the history here only goes back to the early mid 1800s, which is not that long.
No.
And some of it's hilarious.
It's 200 years.
So guys, the history of the Pacific Northwest is really interesting and really fun. And we're going to get more into indigenous history. We're not just going to talk about European settlement here, but we do talk about that a lot just because there's a lot of silliness that goes on, like the pig wars, and it's fun to talk about.
I mean, rabbit holes are our tricks. It's got to be weird. It's got to be quirky, and it's got to be something that we didn't know.
Exactly. So guys, we appreciate your support. Thank you so much for listening. Welcome to all of our new Irish listeners. You are now 13% of our listenership, which is pretty amazing.
Hey, I love that.
Thank you so much for listening. Please support us by telling a friend or a family member. Send them to our website, rainydayrabbitholes.com.
Share, share, share.
Share. They can listen on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever they get podcasts. And we will very soon have a Patreon, which is going to have a lot of fun benefits for you, including bonus episodes as well as merch.
Merch.
It's going to be exciting.
I can't wait for merch because then I can buy my own merch.
Yeah, we're going to wear our own merch. And follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Threads. Anyways, guys, we'll see you next time and
see you down the rabbit hole. We really could go deeper,
deeper, harder, longer.
We could really make this a lot more fruitful.
Sorry. I'm just stuck on deeper, harder, longer.
And fruitful. And...